casting their care on Jesus Christ, they're not going to be able to serve God the way God wants you to serve Him. And I'm okay, and I don't feel guilty about it. I'm doing well, and I pray for my brother, and I hope he recovers fully. And I hope I have opportunities with him and others while I'm there. Because no matter where we go, there we are, but that's where we ought to be serving God. In every moment, and I hope nobody takes that wrong. I hope you understand what I'm saying. I hope you understand my heart. That's not even my introduction. It's my intro to my intro. All right. I have a... Yeah. I'd like to just start first Corinthians 1:18. You know, one of the things about introduction, one thing you do in an introduction is I can tell you what I'm going to tell you. And then I can tell you, and then I can tell you what I told you. The intro, right, the body, and then the closing, right? Conclusion. So I just thought to give you a little bit of indication where we're going. I have a few things here. I just want to get a little orderly here, because I guess I'm good there. It's a nice letter in here. Super clean. Maybe around here somewhere. Points B and C. I'm not going there yet. The first one is about power. In 1 Corinthians 1:18, we know that the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness. That hasn't changed. How long ago was that written? Was still fought the same way by lost people who don't have a heart for it. 1 Corinthians 1:18. For the preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, not perish. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him shall not perish, but have everlasting life. Well, what does that mean, perish? If you don't know what it means, perish, it means die of your sins and go to hell. That's what it means. We don't want anyone to die of your sin and go to hell. We want them in Christ. And the only way they're going to get in Christ is through the gospel. Believing in the gospel, repenting of their sin, and trusting Christ as their Savior, shall not perish. The foolish. The preaching of the cross is that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. And it's powerful. There's a number of things that are powerful. The gospel is powerful. We just think talking about love. Love did it. The love of God provided a way. And when we share the gospel, it ought to be out of love. And I'm telling you, there is nothing in this world more powerful than love. A godly love, God's love, and the love we're to have for God, because he first loved us, and the love we're to have for others, because they need it. They need the gospel. And it's better to communicate it with love instead of pride, arrogance, and a bull and china shop approach. Hope that makes sense. Acts 1:8 also talks about this power. Jesus said, you'll receive power. Acts 1:8, but ye shall receive power after the Holy Ghost has come upon you. The gospel is the power of God. There's power. And then for Matthew 25, let's go to Matthew 25. And then Matthew 25, this is my intro. That was my intro. This, we're getting into my main text. Part of my main text. Beginning of my main text. First one text. Matthew 25, and we'll pray after we read some of this. Very familiar portion of Scripture. In fact, there's only a couple of verses that I really want to focus on in Matthew 25, 14 through 30. Matthew 25, verses 14 through 30. And again, it's the account of an example of someone who was given something to invest, and I can appreciate Brother Norbert's message last night. He talked some about investment, and that's what this portion of Scripture talks about. It covers investment. Matthew 25, 14, for the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. Why? To do what with? To invest. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another 2, to another 1, to every man according to his several ability. Now that's an important point right there. That's one of the verses I want to talk about. One verse I believe can speak to our hearts according to his several ability. I have my several ability. What does that mean? Several. Does it mean many? What does that mean in that context, in that English? So I believe I have something written down here somewhere about that. I'll find it. But it happens to be personal. It's ours. It's what's given to us. One's own, it means. It means one's own ability, force, power, strength. One's own. I have mine, you have yours. Mine is my business to do what God wants for me to do. It's your business to do what God wants you to do. And sometimes we over-involve ourselves in other people's business and neglect our own. And that's not right. We need to mind our own business in a sense, unless we're helping somebody in something that requires more than one person. Here, I forgot to switch my glasses. These will help me because I'm short-sighted. I can see well. Or nearsighted. Not short-sighted. Hopefully I don't want to be short-sighted. Nearsighted. So it doesn't matter if it's out of the pulpit. It matters if I have the right lenses on. So amen. It took me a while to figure that out, why I couldn't see. I always blame it on short preachers with short pulpits. Turns out it's an eyesight problem, and you can correct it with a certain type of lens, and it works for me. Here in Matthew 25, verse 14, the kingdom of heaven is a man traveling in a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And one he gave 5 talents, another 2, to another 1, to every man according to his several ability. Several ability. So his ability, his own ability, power. That word power is one that's used in other ways. Now mostly it has to do with the power of God, but you know, the power of God is the power of God, and we can tap into the power of God. All power is given unto me, right? All power is passed on, all power is given to do God's work. And it's not, you know, it's not a matter of apostolic succession. We want to separate that. But still, we know that the gospel is powerful. Faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We know about, you know, how important it is to sow and water and have God give the increase. Now, we continue on in this account, and then I'll pray. But so we got that far. But according to his several ability, and straightway took his journey. Then he that had received 5 talents went and traded with the same and made them other 5 talents. And likewise he that had received 2, he also gained other 2. But he that received 1 went and digged. So we've got 5. Look at, gentlemen, given 5, gained 5. Obedience! 2. Gained 2. Obedience! Very disobedience. Simple disobedience, that's what it is. And that can apply to us. Can it not? It can. And so we want to be right. We want to be yielded. We want to be surrendered. We need to obey. We need to figure it out. What does God have? After I got saved, I was in the church in Mississippi for so many months. And I didn't know a whole lot to do, but they had a building project, and I had worked construction, so I got active. They had land to clear, and I know how to, you know, I could work at clearing land, not hard. They had the calling. I remember times that was just the pastor himself, the visitation night, probably Tuesday night. Faithful church. They had a ministry that had buses and vans, and I participated with the van ministry to pick up airmen from the triangle area. It was Keystone Air Force Base. It was the student area. You know, and I just obeyed where there was a need, and I was really saved. I didn't know much about how to share my testimony, but I shared what I knew how to know. What I knew, I remember being with a couple of guys, having pizza, we're talking, and I shared my testimony. And one guy said he grew up in church, but he was backslid, probably still lost. And we had a good conversation. Like, he encouraged me, even though he was backslid and not living for God, he encouraged me to continue in those things. And that type of thing. We had a good conversation. I got to share a little bit about how they recently gained victory over drunkenness and alcohol. And he had fallen into that kind of life. But he encouraged me not to join him in his sin, but to keep going the right way. Again, I didn't know a lot. I got shipboard sent to Spain. And they asked about how about with a children's church group. I did, and I didn't know much to do, so I stood in the back. The guy that was leading singing couldn't carry a tune if it was in a bucket, if you know what I mean. So I started singing those children's songs from the back so that it was on tune. He wasn't. So they're like, and I started leading the children singing for that children's group, right? I came here, and I had done a number of things there in Spain, and I was able to get involved with the base bus ministry. And that week, my wife and I met. We're doing the base bus ministry together, October 1983. And we did that for a number of years. We've been working with youth ministry, children ministry ever since. It's been more than 40 years. And we started out a week at a time. We still kind of continue a week at a time. No week has been the same that I can remember. But we just keep serving the Lord. And now, I don't say that. I say that to God will, through obedience, develop your abilities and talents in ways that might just blow you away. Because it's not about us. It's about Him and the power of God. And honestly, if we will all surrender and yield to what God wants from each of us, wow. Amen? We have the right leadership. We have a lot of good followership. But if we would all just be committed to what God has for each of us to do, glory to God. We'll be amazed. We can actually pray every time we meet together and pray. We can say, dear God, God, please do things among us and through us that we cannot take credit for. And He'll do it. He will do it. We have to be faithful. We have to be obedient. We have to understand the principle that we're not going to be disobedient and in a sense bury a talent. We're going to let God use it. We're going to surrender to it. And if there's anybody shy, any ministry that's shy on workers, well, just get in there and at least observe it, see what it's like and what it's about. And you, I think pretty quick, you'll figure out what you can do to help. Hope it makes sense. I think it's pretty simple. I really do. I think there's a lot that God has for us. I believe there's a lot of people, when they realize, a lot of people already realize what's going on in this world, and their hearts are going to be at least a little bit open to the truth of the gospel. And their need of repentance and faith and salvation in Jesus Christ and an eternal hope, a home in heaven for all eternity. I really believe that's happening. I believe it is. And I believe together. And some people think, well, it might be just being clean. Well, maybe, but maybe it could be more than that. Maybe it'll be a multiplication thing. Maybe. I hope so. I believe so. But even if it's not, I'm still going to be faithful. How about you? Are we going to be faithful together? We're a church. That's who we are. Amen. We need to be faithful. We need to develop those talents, utilize those talents. Be obedient in what God leads us to do, what He directs us to do, what He would have for each of us to do, and pray for one another, and love on each other, care for each other, and work together for God's glory. Following our leadership, because I honestly believe we have great days ahead, months ahead, years ahead, until the Lord returns, until He comes back, or until He takes us home, whatever it might be. So that's good enough for Matthew 25. Let's go to Matthew 6. Matthew chapter 6. Don't wait for me to pray. I'm praying. I need prayer. We all need prayer. Father, we come before you with grace. We open your word here. Lord, there's just some blessed truth here about our several ability, our ability, our personal ability. And I just pray you help each one of us to know, even a child is known by their ability. Lord, we see in our children amazing, wonderful skills for them to develop. We also see things that need to be directed and guided through. But each of us, Lord, there's something for each of us to do that we can be consistent at, faithful at, committed, and then we can do it out of love for you and others. And I just pray you help us to do that, we ask. For your blessings, and you open your word as we look to your word tonight, we ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Matthew 6, beginning of verse 5. Matthew chapter 6.
Why do you think
Don't you think our Heavenly Father feels even stronger than that about our spending time with Him? And if we don't, there are all kinds of ways to pray. Or if we're to pray without ceasing, we also have to be about our business. But He's longing to hear from us. I mean, there's times in situations we pray like, help me, Lord, or thank you, Lord. I need Thee every hour kind of meditating and praying. But just think about that. But now it goes into, and after this manner, pray you, our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be Thy name, Thy kingdom come. I'm not praying in vain repetition, I'm just saying it's in the apostles' prayer. I'm not teaching on this tonight, but there's a principle here. Thy kingdom come, Thy will be done, on earth as it is in heaven. Thy will be done. How's it going to be done? Who's going to do it? Look in the mirror, look at the realm. This is it, us. We. Has anybody caught on with the modern people declaring their pronouns? Anybody pick up on that? Have you ever heard that? Is it only up in Canada? I mean, there's people out there declaring their pronouns and putting them in their signature, email signature. You got to think about that. If I get pressured, if I have to declare my pronouns, I'm going to say, my pronouns used to be me, myself, and I. Anybody else before salvation? Maybe you still struggle with it a little bit today. Me, myself, and I. Me, myself, and I. You understand where I'm going with that? Those used to be my pronouns, but I got saved. And I hope they're more us, we, and Thee, Lord. Amen? If I've offended anybody, lots of people here would be happy to share the gospel with you if that offends you. It shouldn't offend you. If it does offend you, something's not right. It's about others. We're to love God with our all, our neighbor as ourself. Every other are either saved and need to be discipled, or they're lost and they need the gospel message. We need to be about God's business, serving Him, blessing others, in service to Him. Amen. I'm not done. We got a ways to go. Hour with Robert, maybe tonight. Amen. But at least it's not going to be as bad as it has been in the fog last time. Oh, by the way, send your greetings. And they got so much snow, she was able to take groups of kids sliding last time. That's how much snow they got up there. So if you want to whine about it, could be worse. Amen. 500 miles north. Amen. All right. Yeah, so again, yeah, there's a little bit more here. Forgive us as they already look right. Forgive us our debts as we forgive our debtors, and lead us not into temptation, but deliver us from evil. For thine is the kingdom, and the power, and the glory forever. And God, this is the power. But again, that's power that's at our disposal in ways. The Word of God is powerful. How powerful is the Word of God? It's quick and what? Powerful! And sharper than any two-edged sword. Piercing even the dividing asunder. God's word is powerful. And yet, sometimes in a sense, our talent and ability to utilize the word of God more often and more effectively gets buried. And if you and I know, if we're going to be honest, it's true. It's true. But that's, again, something else. Don't bury it like the one disobedient servant, but use it more. Like that one through challenge 5. And I'm not here to make anybody feel bad. I'm trying to inspire, encourage, motivate to serve God more. He's worthy. Our Savior is worthy. Our God is worthy. This church that He loves is worthy. And ourselves individuals and collectively and families and everything else, it's worthwhile to invest this way. As a church, as families, as individuals. And this is the thing about the days we're living in. Those who are just pretending and playing, in some respects, we're going to lose them. But the ones who are serious and those that wake up as a result of what's going on in this world right now, There's a lot of potential there. There's a lot of need there. A lot of ministry need there. And it's up to us. We have to just get with God and find out, Lord, what would thou have me to do? Invest in properly in God's word. Being about our master's business. I think I'm done there. We get there. All right. Yeah. So we were already at 1 Corinthians 1:18. Let's go to 1 Corinthians 3. I'll either review it or I'll go to it for the first time. I'll have the less of a tape to find that or whatever. 1 Corinthians 3. We're already in 1 Corinthians 1:18. Right? The preaching of the cross is to them that perish foolishness, but unto us which are saved, it is the power of God. Speak unto you as unto spiritual, but as unto carnal, even as unto babe in Christ. I have fed you with milk and not with meat. I heard a message, this is not my message. I'm getting somewhere with this. But the message was on incubator Christians. Anybody want to identify? You know that identify thing, right? The identify thing?
Cat, dog, whatever.
Anybody want to identify as a baby Christ or an incubator Christian? Oh, I only have the milk, good word. Love that stuff. Don't give me the meat. I'm going to choke on it. Don't give me a T-bone steak. I might not know enough not to eat the bone. We need to grow up spiritually. I'm not trying to be mean. But I am trying to get serious. We need to grow up. Get off the milk of the word. Get out of the incubator. And we have the leadership to do that. Amen. It's a matter of obedience to God first. And it shouldn't be that way. You can beat a horse to water kind of thing with anybody. Can't make him drink. No. But you ought to drink. I fed you with milk and not with meat. For hitherto you were not able to bear it, neither yet now are you able. For you are yet carnal. For whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Why is Paul dealing with this? Because of where he's going with this. Let's see where he's going with this. This is why he's dealing with this. This is why it's so important sometimes to again to do the plowing, to prepare the fields, to get some, break up the fallow ground in our hearts, so they're open to what God has for us today, and this week, and this next month, and this next year. Verse 3 again. For ye are yet carnal, for whereas there is among you envy and strife and divisions, are ye not carnal and walk as men? For while one saith, I am of Paul, and another, I am of Apollos, are ye not carnal? Who then is Paul, and who is Apollos, but ministers by whom ye believe, even as the Lord gave to every man? This is the key right here, this next verse and following. Paul is what? Planted. Well, what are you supposed to do? You're to plant. What am I supposed to do? I'm to plant. Why? Because that's how it works. We need to be obedient to that. That's a talent that every one of us can dig up that we buried maybe and use it for God's glory again. We need to be planting. I have planted. Apollos watered. Oh, well, what's that? What's watering? Come on. You never killed a plant or had a bad garden because you didn't know what you were doing, but you tried. And you likely did something with that soil to loosen up the dirt. You maybe even fertilized it a little bit or nourished it somehow. You put a seed in there, plant it, you water it, hopefully then it'll germinate and something will grow. Well, how is that with the Word of God? Well, you share the Word of God. Well, you share it again and add to it. Water, that's kind of what it's like. People asking questions because they're confused, pulling weeds, breaking up the fallow ground of their heart. That's how it works. It's maybe not a perfect illustration, but it's a good illustration. We can do these things. So that neither is he that planteth anything, neither he that watereth, but God gave increase. So verse 6 again. I have planted the bottles of water. Who gives the increase? Who gives the increase? Children. Who gives the increase?
God.
Everybody, who gives the increase?
God
does, but we have a part that we're supposed to do. Amen? Is that not right? I have planted Apollos water, but God gave the increase, so then neither is he that planted anything, neither is he that watereth, but God that gave the increase. That, he's worthy. He's the one. It's for his honor and glory, not mine, not yours. Nobody else's. We're to love him. We're to love his word. We're to love one another and love people. We're even to love our enemies, amen? People that get in conflict with us, still, especially over the gospel, trying to share the gospel with them. And sometimes we have to go away and all we do is pray for them and hope that God will open their hearts to send somebody else and give us another opportunity for that individual. Now he that planteth and watereth, that sounds like unity to me. Sounds like more than one working together to me. But they're one, the working is one. Now he that planteth and he that watereth are one, and every man shall receive his own reward according to his own labor. For we are laborers together with God. I hope so. That's the way it's supposed to be. That's the way I want it to be. I hope that's the way you want it to be. Together. For we are laborers together with God. You're God's husband then. Husband. Ye are God, the building. He's running the church of Corinth. This is good. Local New Testament Baptist Church doctrine. Just is. It's simple stuff. It's not complicated. It's not easy necessarily. It can be hard. But it's simple. We are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husband. Ye are God's old. Hey, I'm telling you what, I am excited about what God is going to do here. I really am. I don't know about you. I'm not worried and I'm not nervous. I'm excited.
Amen.
I appreciate those who share their heart, their love for God, their love for one another, their love for visitors and wanting to serve God. I mean, I appreciate that. I'm thankful for that. I'm grateful for that. I'm happy to be part of that. I really am. And I can speak for my wife. She is too. We love this church. We're going to keep serving through this church. It's not going to change. For we are laborers together with God. Ye are God's husbandry. Ye are God's building. According to the grace of God which is given unto me as a wise master builder, I have laid the foundation and another man buildeth thereon. But let every man take heed how he buildeth thereon. I'm going to go to another verse. And my point, I have a point. It's written in my notes somewhere. I haven't been able to find it. But we need to do God's work lawfully. Not awfully. That should be easy to remember, you know? Even if I can't find it in my notes, it's here somewhere. I was trying to rewrite my notes, ran out of time. So I'm using two separate pages going back and forth, but it's okay. As long as I remember some of these points, right? Amen. I think I'm doing okay, amen. We'll get through it. There's good stuff here, amen. So, yeah. I want to just go on that foundation thing. According to the grace of God, which was given unto me as a wise master builder. And I'm confident of our leadership. There's wisdom in our leadership. like there is was with Paul. I'm confident in it. And I'm confident in a good number of followers. And I just hope and pray and trust that we will do God's work God's way. That we'll continue to do God's work God's way here. I believe that that has been the case. For other foundation can no man lay than that is laid, which is Jesus Christ. Now, if any man build upon this foundation, gold, silver, precious stones, wood, hay, stubble, every man's work shall be made manifest. You know it's going to burn. Now the precious stone, the gold, precious metals, precious stones are going to last. Wood, hay, stubble, that's the stuff that's going to burn. Amen. Going to burn. All right, so. With this portion of scripture, I had a cross reference. I don't know if I'll be able to find it, but that's okay. The point I heard is 2 Timothy. We were there on Wednesday, back to 2 Timothy chapter 2. Because I went so far on Wednesday, I'm going to review Wednesday what I covered here in 2 Timothy 2 and go a little bit further.
That he may please him who hath chosen him to be a soldier. If a man also strive
from Asperger's yet, is he not crowned except when he strive lawfully? Yet he strive lawfully, not awfully. Right? We want to do it God's way, the right way. We want him to get the honor and glory. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Being saved, it really helps you with God when you're sinning. If you find out you're faking and you're not quite sure, get it. Do business with God. Get it settled. Be a partaker of the fruit of eternal salvation. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding all things. You know, I wonder, and this is Timothy to Paul, I wonder if some of the things that Paul wrote to the Corinthians, I'm wondering, if Paul were wondering, you know, I wonder how many of them are really saved and how many aren't. But I think of that thought. The husbandman that laboreth must be first partaker of the fruits. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding in all things. You think the Lord can give you understanding in all things? But it'll be found here. Faithful reading, meditating, studying, hearing, listening to the teaching and preaching of God's word as the word of God is taught, declared, read, and there's someone who has the ability to make sense. We can apply it to our lives. Consider what I say, and the Lord give thee understanding. I'll answer your prayer for ourselves and for others. That the Lord will give us understanding in all things. Ephesians chapter 4. Back to Ephesians 4. Ephesians 4 might may inspire some of us to understand what God would have us to do, some of us. There's some important leadership roles mentioned in Ephesians chapter 4. But there's a lot of support roles that aren't mentioned. Amen? Ephesians 4. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you. You know, I'm so grateful. You know, Paul went to jail, and God had something for him to do there. And I'm so glad that every morning I go to jail, I can leave in the afternoon or evening. Amen? It's a blessing. It's really a blessing. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy. Did I forget to turn this on? I did forget to turn this on. Are we okay?
No, you got to turn it off.
Huh?
It's off.
Sorry. Send somebody up here next time. I just forget stuff. I'm going to be 65 left over. I can't remember what pocket I put it in. Sorry. Brother Skinner. My bad. So that was secondary, was striving lawfully. Ephesians 4:1. I therefore, the prisoner of the Lord, beseech you that you walk worthy of the vocation wherewith you are called, with all lowliness and meekness, with long suffering, forbearing one another in love, endeavoring to keep the unity of the Spirit in the bond of peace. There is one body and one Spirit, even as you are called in one hope of your calling. One Lord, one faith, one baptism. Oh, let's pause right there real quick. But we often, you know, we may have Pentecostal holiness, charismatic type friends who believe that apostolic succession continues. And sometimes they'll ask us if we identify ourselves as a believer, someone who's saved, believe the gospel, and they'll say, oh, have you received the baptism of the Holy Spirit? Anybody ever been asked that? I've been asked it a number of times by Pentecostals. And I'll say, I was scripturally baptized. Are you familiar with Ephesians 4, verse 5? That there's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. And there's other verses of scripture that I'll at times use about we get the Holy Spirit when we're saved.
Mm-hmm. Amen.
And as far as this other baptism or whatever, it's false teaching. And of course, that usually likely ends the conversation. Hopefully it doesn't end the acquaintance and opportunity to visit about truth. Mission fields all around us, right? There's one Lord, one faith, one baptism. One God and Father of all, who is above all and through all and in you all. But unto every one of us is given grace according to the measure of the gift of Christ. And then I'm going to drop down. Verse 11. And he gave some apostles, and some prophets, and some evangelists, and some pastors and teachers. Now these are clear leadership, teaching, preaching areas. But there's also a lot of support roles. And they're needed. They need to be fulfilled. They need to be done. I'm just trying to encourage each of us to figure out, like, maybe God has something in here for me or something in between for me. I hope that makes sense. There's all kinds of areas to serve. So pray about what God would have for you to do, or what would they'll have me to do. He gave some apostles and some prophets and evangelists and some pastors and teachers for the perfecting of the saints, for the work of the ministry, for the edifying of the body of Christ, till we come in the unity of the faith and of the knowledge of the Son of God unto a perfect man, unto the measure of his stature, of the fullness of Christ, that we henceforth be no more children, tossed to and fro, and carried about with every wind of doctrine, by the sleight of men, and cunning craftiness, whereby they lie in wait to deceive. Verse 15 is key. But speaking the truth in love. And that's the simple agape. If you've never done a study, if you've never gotten to where, even, you know, online you can find blue letter Bibles, all kinds of good programs that have a KJV option, that have an interlinear, you can click on this word, love, it'll come up agape, you should be able to click on agape and have all the verses use that word. And that's a good study. So Tottenham wrote a book, That Love Which Is of God, decades ago. I've suggested to him, man, I would just love to see you write a sequel to that, write something, what you've learned since you wrote that. About the subject of that love which is of God. But if you did a study on just that word agape, I'm telling you, there's nothing more powerful than that love. That's a love that originates with God. And John aptly said in 1 John 4:19, we love him because he first loved us. There's nothing more powerful than God's love for us, for mankind, for every person, that Jesus was willing to go to the cross and suffer what he suffered and die there for our sins. That's great love. And we can ask God to help us to love people. Love him, love others, be obedient, be faithful. But speaking the truth in love. And when we speak the truth, sometimes it's tough stuff. When people know, and I'm quoting someone who used to say, well, people, I remember hearing that from being encouraged in Bible college. When people know you love them, you can tell about anything. Especially in a counseling session or something like that. People need to be aware it's coming from a heart of love. Speaking the truth in love. But speaking the truth in love may grow up into him in all things, which is the head, even Christ, for whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by the which every joint supplieth according to the effectual working in the measure of every part. Well, I have a part, you have a part, we all have a part. Let's do our part, amen. Let's each of us do our part. And if God were to ask us that, he's not asking much. He's worthy for us to simply do our part, to figure it out, to Get out of our comfort zone if it's required and try something new. Work with some others on something. Get familiar with every area of ministry in a sense. Be willing to be a substitute when someone can't make it. Be able to fill in. Might not be our primary thing that we're called to or we feel led to, but we can at least fill in as needed. From whom the whole body fitly joined together and compacted by the which every joint supplies, according to the effectual working, in the measure of every part, making increase of the body of the edifying of itself in love. There it is again. Speaking the truth in love. Make an increase of the body of the edifying of itself in love. Godly love. Now, let's go to 1 Peter 1, 22 and 23. 1 Peter 1, 22 and 23. Seeing ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren. Again, what happens when someone obeys the truth? Well, they get saved. That's what that's talking about. Obeying the truth in a way where you're now saved. You're born again. Seeing that ye have purified your souls and obeying the truth through the Spirit unto unfeigned love of the brethren, see that ye love one another with a pure heart fervently. Being born again, not of corruptible seed, but of incorruptible, by the word of God, which liveth and abideth forever. Now there's a concerning text for those who have not believed in 2 Thessalonians chapter 2, 2 Thessalonians 2, beginning in verse 7. For the mystery of iniquity doth already work, only he who now letteth will let until he be taken out of the way. And then shall that wicked be revealed, whom the Lord shall consume with the spirit of his mouth, and shall destroy with the brightness of his coming, even him whose coming is after the working of Satan, with all power and signs and lying wonders, and with all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish, as I said before, them that perish, that those who die in their sins and go to hell, because they're not in Christ. Our hope, our goal, our prayer is that they believe the gospel, trust Christ as Savior, and that they're in Christ, not in their sin. With all deceivableness of unrighteousness in them that perish because they receive not the love of the truth. They receive not the love of the truth. But we love the truth, right? We receive the love of the truth. And it changed us. It worked in us. There are those who we pray for because they won't receive the love of the truth. I mean, I remember hearing the truth and getting saved. I've never hated that truth. I love the truth. I love the truth of the Word of God. That's natural. That's normal for saved people to love the truth and to appreciate the truth, even if it hurts. The purging in John 15. Now you're clean through the words which I've spoken unto you. You know that he purges branches that need to go away. Ouch. We need to love that truth that does that. Verse 10, and with all deceivableness of righteousness in them that perish, because they receive not the love of the truth, that they might be saved. What's keeping some people from being saved? Well, they don't love the truth. They're not open to the truth. They won't receive the truth. They won't accept the truth. They won't believe the truth. And yet, faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. And these are the people who the preaching of the cross is to these folks that perish foolishness, but to us which are saved is the power of God. We hope to love folks, such folks as these, to Christ. Loving them and being faithful witness. You know, and for this cause, God shall set them strong delusion that they should believe a lie. And on that goes. And, you know, it's hard. Verse 12 is hard. That they all might be damned who believe not the truth, but had pleasure in unrighteousness. We don't want that for people. We want them to believe the truth. We need to believe the truth. We need to be among those, as John wrote in 2 John. It's only one chapter, verses 1 through 4. And it's kind of like a conclusion. My second main focus was strive lawfully, not awfully. My third was, is speaking the truth in love. 2 John 1 through 4, or verse, you know, the one chapter, 1 through 4, the elder on the elect lady and her children whom I love in the truth. Who do you love in the truth? Do we love in the truth? Do we love one another in the truth? I hope so. That's how it's supposed to be. I love you in the truth. My wife and I, we love you in the truth. We need to love one another in the truth. To the elder, unto the elect lady, the elder unto the elect lady and her children whom I love in the truth, and not I only, but all they that have known the truth, for the truth's sake which dwelleth in us and shall be with us forever. Grace be with you, mercy and peace from God the Father and from the Lord Jesus Christ, the Son of the Father, in truth and love. I rejoice greatly that I found of thy children walking in truth. And we want to keep rejoicing with one another, walking in truth. That's our goal. That's where I've come to. Let's walk in truth. Let's love the truth. Let's not, if there's any buried talents, get them dug up. Put them to use. Get active. Try something in ministry, helping, whatever God leads you to do. But I'm hopeful. I just think we have a lot of great, like I said, days, weeks, months ahead, years ahead. If God gives us that time, I believe it's just going to keep getting better. I just believe that. The circumstances around us won't. But again, that's it. I start out with casting our care upon Him, knowing He cares for us. We have to master that for it to work. So let's love the truth and love one another that loves the truth. Let's pray. Father, we just thank you for your truth. We thank you for each one of us that loves your truth.